Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona, and now in New York. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $10 to get $200 in free bets. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy has a $100,000 guaranteed contest for the big game this weekend, plus a 100% instant deposit match at ThriveFantasy.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $15,000 with one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. And finally, don't forget to download the SGPN app and enter our free Super Bowl props contest for your chance to win $100,000. That's right, $100,000. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Finally, ho, Generinos. And welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 114. I'm going to send out to my fellow Canadians who fought last night at UFC Fight Night, Hermanson versus Strickland. Million went 2-2, so mediocre effort, which is basically what you get when you come to this podcast, mediocre effort, mediocre results. But the main thing is those Canadians, those Canucks, those hosers, they dished out two L's to my co-host here, which is the most important thing. Him picking up L's in his ledger so listeners finally come around and realize that I'm the brains behind the operation. He may be the brawn and the good looks, but I'm the brains behind these things. So thank you for coming to the podcast. I'm working on some new slogans and catchphrases for our podcast. I think I'm going to workshop them on air. I'm thinking if you're something along these lines, if you're tired of your MMA affiliated podcast, dropping N bombs and you telling you to take telling you to take horse dewormer, then this is the home for you. There's no, I swear there will be no racist talk unless all of a sudden hillbilly or hoser are considered racist, in which case I'm in deep trouble there. But no racist talk. We love and hate everyone equally, and no pseudoscience, bro science, health advice here. So we will not tell you to take Invermectin or whatever. I don't even know how to say it. So this is a safe space for you. If you're into juvenile humor, toilet humor, dick jokes, general banter, lighthearted banter back and forth, then this is the home for you. And of course, usually winning picks, or at the very least, mediocre picks. So thank you. You found your home. You found your tribe. And I would be the host, one of the hosts. My name is Jeff Sexy Maxi Fox. Am I sexy? No, I probably not. Am I Mexican? Nope, definitely not Mexican. But yet, my nickname is Sexy Mexi. And for longtime listeners of the show, or at least listeners for the past 2 weeks, they'll know why. My name is S-E-X-I space M-E-X-I space. And thank you for the people who have put through a couple people have put through ratings and reviews for our podcast. We're having a little internal competition among SGPN podcasts to see who can get the most reviews. Thank you for the people who helped out the MMA Gambling Podcast and gave us a review. It's still time. Make sure you subscribe to our feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed, and throw up a review like the one one person named Trooper Fan did. Obviously, a fan of the Canadian rock band Trooper, who my friend and co-host has never heard of. So obviously, one of the CDs that he has in his car is not a Trooper CD, but more on that later. Let's bring him into the show here. I was asked just yesterday, actually, what my co-host looks like from an unknown person. The first word that came out of my mouth was handsome. Can you believe that?
I can complete that.
You're not allowed to talk yet. Damn it. He doesn't listen well, but he gets by on his good looks, so he can break the rules of the podcast and speak when he's not allowed to speak, and he can make really crappy picks and betting advice, or at very least mediocre betting advice, but he thinks he can get by on his purple belt in jujitsu and his dashing good looks. That would be the one, the only man mountain Gumby, Daniel Vreeland.
So wait, hang on a second. Just
okay, you can talk now.
Let's reel this back for a quick second. First of all, you're right.
Yeah. Did I say anything that is, I know you not being allowed to tell people to take horse dewormer is going to really handicap you. But I hope you're okay with that rule, and you can move.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have no problem with the lack of medical advice portion or the holding back of racial slurs. I wasn't planning on using any of those, so I think I should be good with my analysis. But here is where I do have a problem, is that he's sitting here telling people that I have mediocre gambling advice for them on picks. And could you just real quickly, because I know you're going to touch upon the entire card picks, which we've told people time and time again is not a good way to win money. I know you're gonna rest on those laurels, if you will, for the majority of the episode. So let's get my goodness out of the way to start. That way the people at the beginning of the episode can hear what they actually want to hear, which is a triumphant Gumby performance, where in our recommended plays here, if I'm not mistaken, not only did we both give you profitable picks for this week, but I'm fairly certain that I beat the snot out of you in those. Am I wrong about that?
So, first of all, you're okay with being called handsome, but you're not okay with being called mediocre, right? Just so we're clear in the air here?
Yeah, I'm good with the handsome. The mediocre okay, I'm fine with as far as we're talking about the whole card picks. But, like, if you're going to sit there and say that I'm mediocre and giving you good betting advice, that's incorrect, you know, categorically incorrect.
I got the winning slips from a fan on Twitter. He won thousands and thousands thanks to me last night, Dan. Okay, not thanks to you, but
I got quite a few as well. But
fun.
I love when
fans
people
love sending us their winners. Slack.
Hit the Slack, hit the Twitter, hit everything. Send me winning betting slips. It's like one guy sent me a whole bunch of them one time, and I can't remember your name. If this is you, feel free to take credit on Twitter next time you see me or whatever. But he sent me a whole bunch of winning slips, and he goes, "Dude, sorry." And then I was like, "What are you sorry about? Like, you won a bunch of money." And he was like, "Oh, I felt like I was rubbing it in or something like that." And I was like, "No, you're not rubbing it in, dude. Like, you won listening to me. That's cool. I'm glad that's working." But if you listen to our recommended plays, which we always suggest you do, they also come at the end of the episode, so it's a good idea to listen to us all the way through. Both of us 2-1, and if my math is correct, 10 or 11% return on investment for you, which is a pretty nice day. And I want to say, if my math is correct, 54% return on investment for me.
Yeah, it looks like that. Yeah. Yeah, he had a very good night with the recommended plays. But I've changed my tune. Betting on every fight is the way to go now. $100 per fight. I won a buttload of cash last night, and I'm up for the year. So Well, we're changing gears, Dan. We are changing gears.
this is like the other time when you I love the way that you kick off every recap episode with a new strategy for how we're going to talk about the results, because like we talked about results just straight up the first card of the year and you'd won.
Yeah.
And then the second time we talked about we went to go do results. I had clearly won. I had done better on everything, and you changed it to talking about return on investment. And now you're singing the tune that's literally the opposite of the first 114 episodes of this show.
Hey, you got a problem? Go host your own show, Dan, all right?
I do. Two of them.
I know you already do, but go get a third one. Do a grappling-only one. That'll be a moneymaker. Do that.
What do you think? I'm going to pass on that. I think okay, it's fine. Probably not a market that hits a lot of people.
And am I correct in my opener that you do not have any Trooper CDs in your car? Because you admitted that you have CDs in your car and you don't listen to streaming music.
Trooper CDs? That's correct. I couldn't even tell you who Trooper is, to be honest with you.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
with you being a millennial, I'm afraid to ask what kind of CDs you have because I may lose respect for you, so maybe I better just leave it.
I have I'm pretty sure of the CDs that I still have in my car, which are in like one of those big CD books that everybody should own.
Wow, that's very old school.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure just about every collected Chili Peppers CD, and then
that's good.
I think I still have everything that Coheed and Cambria made up until their like sixth CD, and then I think I gave up on them. I have most of Weezer's catalog as well. Those were the ones I was like really big on in high school. Weezer, the Chili Peppers, and Coheed and Cambria.
All right, 2 out of 3 is not bad. I have no problem with Coheed and Cambria. I just don't listen to them. But yeah, the 11-year-old is fans of the Chili Peppers big time, and he likes Weezer too. He can play most of it on guitar too, which is Chili Peppers. He's like, hey, check this out, and he's all of a sudden he can play like a full album worth of Chili Peppers somehow. Like, geez, we get a bass guitar, and all of a sudden he's playing Flea's parts already. I'm like, how do you know how to play that, man? Anyhow, hopefully someday I'll retire from this podcast, and you know it's because I have a musical rock star prodigy paying the bills, so I'll have to slum it with Gumby anymore.
I don't think my kids will do that. They don't seem too interested in music. I'm hoping good genes get them past a D3 baseball career.
Oh yes, that's the way to go. That's it for the CDs. You don't have any.
I've got various other ones, but it's all chilling around that same.
There's this Massachusetts guy that I really like. Do you have any of his CDs?
I don't have any folksy cover band CDs.
Nope. He's not on Spotify either, so he must have pulled his music from Spotify too over the Joe Rogan thing. Please, anyhow, this is all inside. Don't. This is all inside jokes, guys.
Yeah, I almost feel bad not cluing the listeners in because nobody who we're offending is going to hear this. My father-in-law plays music. He's not very good.
He's not very good. That's harsh.
Neither my wife nor him nor anybody he knows will listen to this. So if they do, well, we're going to find out the hard way. So.
Oh my God, I wasn't even willing to say his name, and Dan comes right out and says it.
I didn't say
right
his name. Trashes him. Say his name. You'd have to
he
like.
Trashed
know,
him though.
You have to know a lot about me in order to. You know what you should. You know what you should name this episode in the show notes. He's a very good.
He's a very good musician.
No, isn't very good. Yeah.
Oh, isn't very good. Yes.
Which could be. This could be the perfect segue into finally talking about these fights. And how shitty Sean Strickland looked last night.
Oh God, yes. How are you? We'll get to this, but he wants to quote unquote murder someone in the cage. What? Death by a 100 million jabs? Like, how's he going to kill someone?
He didn't even land very many of those jabs. That was the most annoying part. Also, like, did you see his tweet afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Suits for it? I hate suits, too, though.
At first, no, the first post from him, though, I didn't see the suit thing, but I did see the first post for him was he was like, I don't mean any disrespect to...
Yeah.
And then he just said, like, I fought. I don't feel like I even tried last night. I was really bad. I don't know what was going on. And I was like, yeah, no, like, yeah. We all felt the same way. It felt like you weren't trying. And we'll get into what this means for him in just a bit, yeah. Because I think Jeff had a segue he wanted to hit.
Yeah, I was trying to, but I don't remember what it was now. So you've totally screwed up my segue. But let me tell you about WinBet. We don't need a segue into WinBet. WinBet's awesome. And Sean and who's the other boss's name? Ryan. That's his name, right? They're down in the WinBet studios in Vegas right now recording stuff. So big time. We love WinBet. We're a WinBet family around here. And WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and New York. Capital letters, N-E-W space Y-O-R-K. Is that how you spell it? Yes. New York. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Don't forget all about the props. They'll be available on WinBet for the Super Bowl, which we determined last podcast is similar. It's kind of like a knockoff of the Grey Cup in Canada, right?
Yes, it's like a south-of-the-border Grey Cup.
Okay, got it. The best part, you can build your own bet to create a prop-focused same-game parlay for the big game. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WinBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Set up today to receive a special offer. Bet $10, win $200, download Bet and Win. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com to start winning. Oh, I got some. It's first subject to change. Terms and conditions at WinBet.com. Must be 21 or older. And present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Let's tell you about StableDuel also. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. I think it's called the sport of the kings or something, or it was. Best part is now there is a way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $15,000 with one entry, which is what Dan commands per episode of this podcast. I shouldn't put that out there, but that is what Dan demands the bosses pay him. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app. We can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win over at StableDuel. All right. We already started. This is a common thing. We often crap a lot on the winner of the main event, don't we?
You know, I think
it happens.
Well, we didn't crap on Calvin Kattar.
It doesn't always happen. But
an expert performance. Who was the last one? No, we definitely didn't crap on Francis. Not this year. This year we've been all on the winners.
This year
we have all three events. Two of them we've been on the winner.
There you go. Sean Strickland -225. We hit. He just squeaked out the win, Dan. It was such a close fight that it was a split decision. 49-46, 47-48, 49-46. So he was correct. He did not perform well because very clearly Jack Hermanson won three rounds last night.
What a wild scorecard, first of all. You might have been able to give Hermanson the first, which I think is what the other two judges smartly did. They just gave him the first and nothing else. But, like, there was no way he won any of those other rounds. You know, like,
no.
He didn't control the striking in any way, shape, or form. His grappling, you know, didn't actually do anything. You know, he had no effective grappling, barely any effective striking, certainly less than Strickland. So, like, anybody who's like, you know, again, if you don't know the rules of MMA and how they're actually supposed to judge fights, the criteria doesn't involve control or aggression or anything like that until you get tied in striking and grappling. So, now, what I think is probably the problem was it Sal D'Amato's scorecard?
It was, yes.
Yeah, of course,
yes,
it was.
I believe.
Adelaide Bird wasn't there, so of course it was Sal D'Amato or Chris Lee. If you had that tandem of three judges on a card.
Douglas Crosby was there, too.
Oh, yeah. Just rotate between those four and just watch every single coin flip. But, I think his problem is, like, the only way you could score that fight for Jack Hermanson is if you were like, oh, he controlled where the fight was because he, like, pressed up against Sean Strickland for parts of every round. But, like, that God, it is such a stretch to think that Hermanson won more than a round there. It was crazy. So, but that being said, you know, like, back to the original point where we were shitting on Sean Strickland, which I think everybody should be more of. Sean Strickland didn't
disappointed
look like
in
he,
him.
Yeah, he didn't look like he wanted to win that fight. Like, and don't get me wrong, he did enough to win, but like, it's really frustrating because first of all, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't give two shits if Sean Strickland gets a title shot or not. I'm not like a fan of his new whatever it is, trash talk or, you know, trash tweet or whatever the hell he's doing to try to hype himself up because it's clearly a show to me. But, like, whatever he's decided to do here has, like, come on the heels of, like, this middleweight win streak where he's looked phenomenal. He's had crazy pressure. People have been talking about how his pressure might do everything. And then he's built this, like, alter ego that he's, like, throwing out there in the public where he's like, yeah, I just can't – I just love hitting people, so I just move forward no matter what, and all I want to do is punch people. And then, like – so you have this narrative built around you that seemingly the UFC is lopping up with the being like, this dude could get a title shot. All he had to do was put it on Jack Hermanson, and I know there are two middleweights fighting next week that are higher up in the rankings than he is, but he would 1,000% leapfrog both of them if he went in there and just put it on Jack Hermanson. And instead, he, like, ruined his win streak. Now, granted, not like it's not gone, but it like doesn't look as impressive anymore. He ruined that narrative that he is like this insane pressure fighter. He ruined the narrative that he's like some kind of psycho who just has to punch people at all times. Like, he basically took everything he has worked for, and all he did was keep the win streak going just barely enough that like they can't knock him down in the rankings. But like he's not getting the next title shot. I'm positive of that fact now because of how he fought last night.
No, it's true. Yeah, he fights the total opposite of what his act is. You're not going to kill someone in the octagon, thankfully, but yeah, jabbing them up, you're not going to kill him. But his defense on point. His defense is very good. And it's not like he looked bad. He was fine. He just didn't really put it on to try to finish the fight except for the last, which he put on, tried to put on a show for the last 10 seconds, which was totally just show, because he had the fight in the bag. But apparently he didn't have the fight in the bag, according to one judge. But impressive, biggest win of his career. He looked fine, like his defense and like I said, everything's fine. He just didn't have that killer instinct, which he pretends that he has.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the most frustrating part of it too, because right, like it's this narrative that he wants to create, and I'm very positive. Like, I know some people are out there like, no, he's just really a psycho. No, like, he's not been a psycho for his entire career. He moved up to middleweight, won a couple of fights with crazy pressure, and now he's like, oh, yeah, it's just because I'm nonstop bloodthirsty. And it's like, clearly that's not true. So he's created this narrative and then did everything in his power to buck it. It's just – I mean, like, maybe he had doubt in there, too, or maybe he knew he was winning, but, like, his coach was yelling at him to go the whole time. So I don't know what mental block he had in there being against Jack Hermanson, but, man, did that fight not just tell you that, like, somebody like Israel Adesanya or Robert Whittaker or Jared Cannonier would just eat him for breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, totally. Totally, totally. Yeah, I thought, no, there's no way he's winning. But, yeah, no, there's no way he's winning the belt or anything like that. But, anyhow, maybe it's learning experience. It's not like he lost the fight. He still very clearly won the fight, regardless of what a paid official said. Maybe onwards and upwards for him. Maybe, like you said, he will learn from this and move on. If you can, you know, put up a stinker and still get your hand raised, you know, that's the best outcome, I guess, for putting up a stinker.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to suck, you might as well suck and win.
Exactly.
Because then you might not learn anything, too.
It's true. All right, so we both hit that one. Then I hit a nice, I think this was my biggest underdog of the night in the co-main event. Yes, Nick Maximoff plus 160. I hit this one. Dan had Puna Soriano to win. Maximoff, another split decision, 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. It's very frustrating when these split decisions, I guess, are understandable, but when the numbers are so far around all over the page, that's the frustrating part. So anyhow, my quick take on this, Maximoff is far too one-dimensional to really get behind. As I know he's young still, but he's way too one-dimensional to get behind as a true elite prospect, at least at this point, and the way the sport is nowadays. Maybe 20 years ago, you can get by with just being a wrestler, but yeah, that's not going to cut it nowadays.
I think he lost this fight too. I'll give you that.
Someone agreed with you.
Yeah, I think more than one person should have agreed with me. Like, he didn't do anything effective. Like, give me one moment in that fight where Nick Maximoff was being what we would deem in the MMA world effective. Like, he took somebody down, and I think one time was throwing punches from guard. But apart from that, he was just trying not to get swept to his own back, which he did more than once in every single round. He got put on his own back and scrambled out and then beat the shit out of on his feet. Like, he was not winning any exchange on his feet. The only round I gave him was the third. I actually thought I gave Puna the first and the second. I thought Maximoff probably won the third, but even then, like, the 15 seconds of striking that Puna threw in the last, you know, the last 15 seconds of the fight was more than Maximoff did. Like, if you gave Puna all three in there, I wouldn't have been surprised. So to see Maximoff win all three on one judge's scorecard, to me, was insane.
Yeah, it's
that's still your boy Doug Crosby gave him a three.
Yeah, but I know exactly. He's never seen a split decision that he doesn't like.
Yeah, he turned up another one for me later on. We'll talk about him a little later too.
Yeah, and that interview that Chuck Mindenhall, did you read that article Chuck Mindenhall did on him years ago?
He's
an interesting fellow, to say the least. But it just shows there's a disconnect still with the actual people judging the sport, that people have different opinions on how what should be scored as winning a fight. It's like it's frustrating that the actual people in charge of it can't get on the same page as to what a winning performance in the cage looks like. It's not like they were just a little bit different from each other. They were way off. In the top two fights, their opinions were way off from one another.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like, it's hard to sit here and say, too, like, it's really frustrating that they keep fucking these up. But, like, the problem is it is the same couple of guys repeatedly, right? Like, I have two split decisions that I disagree with on this card. We'll talk about the other one in a second. Both of them, Crosby was on the side I disagree with. You know, like, you mentioned Sal D'Amato. Yep. Sal D'Amato's notorious for that. Chris Lee is notorious for that. You know, Adelaide Bird seems like she flips a coin every round. Like, it's just one of those things that you kind of wish that there was just somebody out there who looks over this shit. You know what I mean? There's just somebody out there who checks in on things and fixes things so that, like, the people who are repeatedly fucking these up do not get to keep fucking them up.
Yep. And we're still getting Herb Dean in the main event. So it's almost like they're doing that despite things. It seems like he does more main events than ever now. So anyhow, enough bitching about that. Moving on, Shavkat Rakhimov. He did not disappoint. Minus 250, hit that, and he looked very good against Carlson Harris. KO, spinning hook, kick, and punches. How can you not look good winning by spinning hook, kick, and punches? 4-10 into the first round. He's like top five in the performance rankings I do on MMA-Manifesto.com. I know he's not legit a top five fighter at this point, but that's how good his first three performances have been over the competition he has fought. But ranked at this point or not?
He's fought good competition literally since his first fight in the UFC. But he finished Cowboy Oliveira in his debut, which is an insane ask for a guy debuting. But obviously he's proven himself worthy. I'll tell you this, and I'll be openly honest with it. Going into this fight, I had him ranked in the top 15. I actually had him number 13 before the fight even started. So I haven't gotten around to updating my rankings again. for where he's going to move up to in my personal rankings. But for everybody who's like, I can't believe they're not ranking this guy, it's not everybody isn't ranking this guy, because it only took two fights for me to put him at number 13, because I've believed in this dude right away in the UFC. He's shown that, like, he is the real deal. I'll say this, and I'll be real honest. I'm more confident that he's really good than I am confident that Khamzat Chimaev is really good. And that's not a slight on Khamzat.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's not a slight on Khamzat. It's just saying that what I've seen out of Khamzat is him wrestle a guy who's known to be wrestle, knock out a guy who's known to get outboxed, right?
Right.
I haven't seen him go toe-to-toe in a wrestling match with somebody like Sean Brady. I haven't seen him get in a striking exchange with Carlston Harris, who has been knocking dudes out like crazy, right? I haven't seen him go to the ground with Michel Prezerish. And not only go to the ground with Michel Prezerish, but, like, beat the hell out of him there. Like, Shavkat Rakhmonov has been more tested in the UFC, despite the fact that the Li Jingliang fight is, like, a good one. But, like, in terms of what we have seen out of his skills and what we've had to see him overcome and what we've had to see him, I guess not overcome anything, but, like, what we've seen him do to people in realms that they enjoy being in, it is really, really, really telling for Shavkat Rakhmonov. So, again, I'm more confident he's legit than I am of Khamzat Chimaev.
And as superfan Jong in the SGPN Slack said, something along the lines of, you can never bet against a guy who has a dead animal on his head for a hat, right?
Yeah, what?
Something like that.
I know that that is a like a traditional Kazakhstan hat.
Yep.
I really do want to know, like, what animal it's made from, though, because it's pretty badass.
It's I think it could be a Bigfoot or a Yeti of some sort, some kind of mythical animal.
I thought Yetis were white.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Some kind of mythical animal. A chupacabra? No, they're down south. So I don't know. What, have them on the Top Turtle MMA podcast and ask.
I would love to. Although this, I can't remember.
I don't think he speaks English.
Yeah, I don't think he speaks English.
He has a translator. He speaks English, but
yeah, his guy was anyhow, there with him.
And you nailed it last podcast when I was mentioning his grappling. You said how his don't sleep on his striking.
Yeah,
something along those lines, I believe you said.
Which, by the way, there's another fight on here where we lauded somebody's grappling, and I said, don't forget to hit a nice striking prop, and then we'll talk about that later, and I'll brag more about my
picks. We will. All right, so Shavkat got 50 Gs for his knockout of the night. So we nailed that one. We knew who's going to win. You didn't do our quick summaries of the co-main event. Dan doesn't think he got it wrong. He thinks he got it right, so he's not going to tell you what he got wrong with that one. Main event, despite us complaining about Sean Strickland, that's exactly, we predicted it to go.
I expected more pressure, but that's it, yeah.
Yeah, but we said his striking is too good for Hermanson, and his grappling is strong enough to keep him off him. That's how it went. So we know what we're talking about here, guys and gals, one and a half gals. All right, that's, we have a new sponsor I want to tell you about. It's called IP Vanish. Weeks like this, Dan wishes he had Gumby Vanish, right, Dan?
I don't. I got a 50% return on investment.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Let me tell you about IP Vanish before Dan tries to change the facts. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. Who wants to do that? That's why I use IP Vanish is what we'll say. IP Vanish VPN. To make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet, IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. And we don't want Dan's info to be sneaked out there, especially your browsing history, right, Dan?
Yeah, people might know I still listen to my father-in-law on Spotify.
And you try to find the most gruesome injuries to put on your phone. Oh, there's a gruesome injury coming up. There's another foreshadowing. All right, I did that part. I said it's that simple. Did I not? I did. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go anywhere anymore without using IP Vanish. I don't go online, actually, anymore or anywhere. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like 89 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP, of course, and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. That's probably the last time we'll hear from them since I butchered their ad read, right? They won't be coming back for more.
I thought you sounded good.
Thank you. Maybe they will come back for more. Let's see if I do even better on Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy Talking Points intro as I read that part, which I probably shouldn't read that part out loud, right? Anyhow, come prop up on Thrive Fantasy for the big game. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Choose 10 out of the 20 available player props to build your lineup for the Bengals versus the Rams. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit. Get the most props to rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has a $100,000 guaranteed contest for the big game, and that is $20. I didn't do better. I did worse. Thrive has a $100,000 guaranteed contest for the big game. That is $25 to enter, and first place takes home $20,000. That's a lot of money. Use promo code SGP when you sign up today. You receive 100% instant first deposit match up to $100. Deposit $10 or more to receive the deposit match, plus two free $100,000 contest entries. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today, thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Actually, when I butcher the ad reads and when Dan butchers his in-laws, you know that this podcast is not edited at all. We're live to your ears, right?
That's correct.
And the long pauses between question and answer shows that we are live. All right. Brendan Allen, next. Light heavyweight. Doesn't look so hot at light heavyweight. Little soft around the midsection. Didn't look particularly good in this fight, but he ended up winning a submission, rear naked choke, round 2, 210. I don't know. There's probably not much to say here. Brendan Allen probably wanted to get a payday, which he did. Sam Alvey, we surely have seen the end of. We can move on, right?
I will say this. So, first of all, I mean, I've been saying they're probably not going to give him another fight for probably 4 fights now. So, I'm not going to predict that anymore. And, again, I wouldn't want to predict that with Sam Alvey. He's such, like, a genuinely good dude. Yeah. I've always loved talking to him. I think I've interviewed him, like, 4 or 5 times. He's a great guy. You know, he's on an 8-fight winless streak at this point, which looks pretty damn bad. But I'll also say this, like, I think he looked better than he has in any of those fights. For like the first time, and this is, you know, in our breakdown, we said Brendan Allen is just going to win because Alvey can't seem to pull the trigger anymore. Alvey pulled the trigger a lot in this fight. He looked much better in those regards in pulling the trigger. It was obviously the ability of Brendan Allen to get the grappling going that wound up winning this, but like Alvey did a great job of like throwing those punches that are dangerous and landing a few of them. I actually, for a little while, because this was half of one of my recommended plays. I had it in a parlay with Jelton Almeida. I was, like, holding my breath a little bit because I was like, is Allen going to get knocked out? Is, like, Allen going to lose this fight? Because Alvey was, like, landing some of those shots. And granted, it wasn't that. But, like, if there's a reason in all of this to give Alvey another fight, it's that. It's that he didn't look scared anymore.
There you go. Maybe he knew that this was his last stand. You got to think that was his last stand, but anyhow.
I've thought that once or twice already.
It's true. Not that I'm looking to fire anyone, but I'm going to fire someone again coming up. Brendan Allen, like I said, no real positive out of that other than he got a payday, I think. Like, that didn't do any good for his stock whatsoever, right?
I don't think so. Yeah, he got paid. Nope.
Thinking of, speaking of stocks, this man's stock has gone up in my eyes. I'm a big fan now, Brian Battle. I think Dan is too, because he's been on his Top Turtle podcast. He won the real tough, whatever season it was, finale. Trayshawn Gore beat him 29-28. I really like Brian Battle and how he fights, and Trayshawn Gore really, really rubs me the wrong way, that guy. So we hit Battle plus 128. So anything you want to add to that, Dan?
No, I think you made a good point just about, like, how much better he looks. Because I'll be honest, when I saw him on the show on The Ultimate Fighter, I was already a fan of his. Like, I liked him as, like, a human. And I remember saying when I was watching it to my wife, I was like, I really like Brian Battle. I hope he wins, but I expect Andre Petrosky just to, like, beat the living piss out of him, right? Like, because I didn't think he was all that good. And since then, he is, like, really – first of all, the difference in his cardio looks out of control. Like, he looks really conditioned compared to where he was on the show. And, like, man, he came out landing those leg kicks, which were, like, not brand new to his game, but, like, his kicking game really evolved. He looked more elusive on his feet. He looked very physically strong in changing positions and stuff like that. Like, man, he just looks like he's putting it all together, which, I mean, granted, I guess, like, that should be expected, right? Like, he's a younger dude. I mean, not terribly young, but he's a younger dude who hasn't been in the sport
in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's 27. So, like, with a heavier weight guy, I mean, I guess he's a middleweight. That's still, like, on the earlier end of your career. But he's a guy who is young and very young in his career. He only turned pro in 2019, so he's only been a pro for not even 3 years at this point. He's really progressing really fast, which is impressive as hell, and he's all doing it in a little tiny camp in North Carolina called Hyattson. So, like, good for him, man. Like, he's clearly found the right coaching situation for him to make huge gains, and it's, man, I'm excited to see him fight again.
Yep, definitely. And Trishon Gore, when he fought, what, 3 or 4 times professionally, depending on your source. Yeah, you shouldn't be talking about multiple titles and multiple weight classes. And then after very clearly losing the first round, act like you're a bad man because you landed one punch.
Yeah.
Guys like that annoy me.
He immediately had a social media post about how he didn't think he lost too, and it was one
of course.
It was one of those, like, hats off to him. I didn't think I lost to him, but hats off to him, like, kind of post where you were like, you're trying to do like the humble thing that, like, you know, is like the martial arts way, but, like, you're so into yourself that you can't even do that right.
Was he like that on the show? Since no one watches Tough but you.
I didn't think he was terribly that way. Like, he seemed more humble than he has been, like, on social media since the show.
Yeah, they seem to – maybe it's more of these two guys seem to have a personal thing going on, right?
That's possible.
Or they did at the very least.
Yeah, it's squashed now. Brian Battle brought his trophy back out.
Anyhow, what do you think? That was funny. That's like wrestlers bringing when they win something, briefcases or whatever they bring into the ring every match. That was funny. What do you think his ceiling is, Brian Battle?
I mean, I think it's hard to gauge a ceiling on him right now because, first of all, he's growing really fast and he's only been pro for 2.5 years. We don't usually see prospects this young or this green, although on the next Ultimate Fighter, we're going to see prospects this young and this green.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a bit.
Yeah, he could continue to grow big. Now, of course, everybody's always going to ask that question, can he do so in a tiny camp in North Carolina? Some fighters have done that in their own camp and grown huge. Some that's restricted him a little bit. Yep. It's sort of, you know, a question mark that you have to ask and all that. But, I mean, it's not unreasonable to think he could be a top 10 guy if he continues to make gains like he's making. It's just like he's very early in the game. You're probably going to have to see a prospect loss in there somewhere to see some real gain. And, you know, who knows, you know, how sustainable that progression is or what the ceiling is on that. But right now he's doing all the right things for this stage of his career.
Yeah, for a grappler, he basically won with striking last night. His striking looked good. He showed he could take a punch. Gore has some power. So, yeah, all systems go for that man. And, we'll see what happens. Good personality, fun to watch. So we will be keeping our eye on him. Maybe I think we're going to adopt him as one of the show's favorites. All right, we'll add him to our list of favorites.
You might want to steal his nickname, too, I think, at some point.
What's his nickname again? I'm Pooh Bear. That really fits me like a glove. Oh, yeah, Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear.
yeah, I'll think about it. I will think about it. But Sexy Mexi kind of
fits me like a glove.
I can't
believe you want to keep – I want to say I can't believe you want to keep Sexy Mexi after the fact that the reason you didn't win the recommended plays was because of Sexy Mexi.
I know. It's such a good nickname, though, still. All right, let's finish up the main card. Julian Arosa beat that cheater, Steven Peterson. Cheater because he came in at 149 pounds for 146 max fight. So Arosa got an extra little payday. Another split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28 for Arosa. Pretty fun fight. Pretty much went the way I expected, you know. Lots of scrambling and battling. Bloody battle. It won fight of the night. Arosa got the 100 grand. He got Peterson's portion of it because Peterson missed weight, which is nice to see a guy like Arosa. He's had quite a career turnaround. Already was cut by the UFC twice. This is his third time in the promotion, and now he just made himself an extra 100 grand last night. That's nice to see.
Yeah, and again, this is one of those ones.
And Dan lost the pick, which is nice.
I did lose the pick. It was a huge underdog, which, by the way, at the end of this fight, you can't look at a play on Steven Peterson at plus 245 and say, like, ah, that was a bad play. Like, no, it was a great play. Like, he literally was one judge thinking one round
lost,
was different.
Dude.
He was one round away from, and first of all, again, I lost because of Doug Crosby. Because Doug Crosby scored this fight for Julian Arosa. And I really, again, think the third round belonged to Peterson for doing damage, and they gave it to Julian Arosa because he hit a takedown and laid there. But that being said, you know, like, you can't take anything away from Arosa. He fought a guy who missed weight. Agreed to take the fight, won some of his purse, put on a fight of the night performance, you know, was stung multiple times by Peterson, and sometimes he just responded by hitting him back and knocking him down. Like, it was a great fight, deserving a fight of the night.
Spinning elbows.
And he's also in one of those guys. Actually, I didn't like him very much when he was on The Ultimate Fighter. I thought he was kind of a jerk. Since then, he seems like he's matured quite a bit, and his career is maturing. He's 4-1 in this stint in the UFC, which is, man, impressive that he's turned it around that much.
Yeah, I don't see any jerk in him at all, so I'm surprised to hear that. But yeah, fun fight.
That's because you didn't watch The Ultimate Fighter.
That's true. It's true. Easy pick for fight of the night, right? And I predicted it beforehand in the pick 'em contest run on MMA-Manifesto. I picked this one. It was pretty easy to see this happening, this turning into the fight that it did turn into.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Yeah, they both were guys who you didn't expect to see grapple up too much.
And Dan missed. I was actually an unknown person told me that Dan takes a bit too many under Vikings. So I have to agree with that. You take big swings, Dan.
I do take big swings, but I was very close to hitting a bunch of big swings, and I still won the recommended place.
he did. All right, that's the main card. We'll probably go through the prelims a little bit quicker, but first, Prop Swap. We're brought to you by Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The only thing more exciting than watching the NFL playoffs is prop swapping. Yes, it's a verb, the NFL playoffs. That's a verb, right?
I would allow it to be, yes.
Yes. No, the thing is, like, despite using words for a living, I have a hard time remembering what's a verb, what's a noun, all that stuff. You know, I know you're an English major, so I know I can rely on you. I'm an editor too, everyone. Thank you. January was Crosswalk's biggest month ever as bettors from across the country cashed in on their Super Bowl futures. Like Jamie from New York, who sold a $100 25-1 Bengals Super Bowl ticket for $1,000. The buyer got great odds, and Jamie made 10 times as money. Crosswalk has thousands of buyers across the country, so you always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. So, main card. I went perfect the main card. I didn't realize that. 6-0 main card. Holy moly. Dan went, that includes two underdogs, and Dan went 4-2. Not too shabby at all, Dan. All right, moving on. Prelims. I'm very disappointed in this man. Miles Johns lost via arm triangle choke to the man whose nickname no longer is his because it's mine, John Castaneda. Round 3, 138. I am disappointed in Miles Jones, but I guess I should be impressed with Castaneda. But I'm more disappointed in Miles Jones, who I thought was like a legit prospect. But now I'm not sure. 3-2 in the UFC. I don't know what to think of him now.
Yeah, I struggled a little bit with wondering whether or not this was more a good performance by Castaneda or a bad performance by Miles Jones. And
probably both.
And yeah, it's probably a little of both. But now, like, you know, I was like a little bit lower on Castaneda coming into the UFC, coming out of Combates, and like he lost to Jose Aldo, who I don't personally think is very good. He was on the Contender Series and like got the crap beat out of him on the Contender Series. He's actually on that Dana White's Looking for a Fight that's going to start like an hour after we're recording this, and he's fighting Eduardo Dantas, who I think is going to mop the floor with him. But like that dude beat Castaneda, and I was like, oh, he's not very good. And then they gave him Nathaniel Wood in his debut, and I mean, nobody looks good fighting Nathaniel Wood. But since then, he's beaten Eddie Wineland and Miles Jones. So like, maybe are we just underrating where John Castaneda is and being a little harsh on Jones? Jones also looked maybe like a little trigger shy, but ultimately, like, I'm not quite sure what to make of this misfit.
Yeah. Who are the Velk boys, Dan?
I don't know who the Nelk boys.
Speaking of that fight card today.
I think it's the Nelk boys. I think it's with an N.
Oh, Nelk. See, I don't even have their name right. It is Nelk. You're right.
Do you know how to know how I know I've properly curated my Twitter to only be stuff that I want to read? Is that like
I don't know who the Nelk boys
well,
are.
Well, no. A, I don't know who the Nelk boys are. And B, I like scrolled through and like got like 15 straight posts that were all like, who the fuck are the Nelk boys?
It's true.
And I was like, oh, good. Everybody here agrees with me, which is exactly what you want on your Twitter account. No varying opinions. It's just like
exactly. That's why
old crotchety MMA writers being pissed about whoever the Nelk boys are.
Yeah. That's why we're in such a loving, caring, understanding society, because we all don't listen to anyone else's opinion. But
I don't need to listen to other people's opinion about the Nelk boys or why they
wrong.
Need to sign a UFC fighter tonight.
I Googled them and I still like didn't know. I think they're a YouTube thing.
So somebody explained to me vaguely that they're like, it's kind of like Canada's Jackass guys. And I was like,
oh they're so they Canadian?
Do,
oh,
I was like, do they
about
do,
that.
I was like, do they do print? Oh, see, look at this Canada trivia. I should ask you where the Nelk boys.
Oh, yeah, you should have. That's disappointing.
I think so they're Canadian. If they're not Canadian now, it's going to be. But, like, they were like, oh, do they, like, punch each other in the nuts? And somebody was like, no, they punch other people in the nuts. And I was like, oh, that seems wrong. There's Canada's answer to Johnny Knoxville. So there you go.
Well, they can't be that big. Cause I asked my son, who are they? And he lives on YouTube. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, you're always on YouTube. He's like, I only watch people that make good stuff though. I'm like, very good point. Burn. You burn the Nelks. Good job. So back to what we were talking about. Why did we get this one wrong, Dan?
We undersold
Castaneda and we oversold Johns. What we thought Johns was better and Castaneda was worse than they actually are.
I don't know
what else to say.
I'm leaning more that we botched Castaneda and we might have been selling him short. Like a debut loss to Nathaniel Wood, in retrospect, is like a very good loss. And, you know, then he came back and knocked out Eddie Wineland, which isn't easy to do.
Yep. All right. So that's the first one I have to admit that I missed a pick on. Because it was a very good night. I had six straight, as I said, in the main card. That was my first miss there, if we're going from top to bottom. All right, featherweights, we both hit this one. Canadian Hakeem Dawodu met and beat Michael Trezano, 33-7, 33-7, 33-7. Do we have much to say about here? Dawodu looked he's very fun to watch when he's putting together his combinations, going to the body, going to the legs, going to the head. Fun kickboxer, minus 175, onwards and upwards for him, right?
Yeah, he's a good fighter. They paired him with somebody who is way down on the list after having a tough time with Movsar Evloev, and he did what he was supposed to do. He bounced back and made himself a prospect again.
There you go. And maybe they'll give him a step up and he'll lose, and maybe we'll get a pattern going here, Dan. Last man. Middleweights, Chidi Enchukwuani. Holy moly. He starched the Canadian Marc-Andre Barriot with punches 16 seconds into the fight. We hit this underdog minus 105. He technically was an underdog in this fight, which was basically a pick'em fight. You were much more sure about this pick than I was. So sure you put it into your recommended plays, which you've been banging on about the whole episode. And Chidi looked fantastic.
Yeah, I said in there, too, Marc-Andre Barrio is a guy who relies on eating punches from people and tiring them out. And as I said it very clearly in that last episode, you can't bank on taking a whole bunch of punches from Chidi and Jikawani because he turns lights out and he turns lights out. It'll be interesting. I have to say this following this fight. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him next because he's not young. He's not young in career. You know, he's longitude and he's not young, like, for his division either. He's 33 years old. So, like, it will be really interesting. Do they now feed him, you know, to a really big-named middleweight, you know, or is this a guy who they're going to try to slow play a little bit and he's going to be too late in his career to make a serious run? So it'll be interesting to see what they do next. I'd love to see him in there with somebody like, you know, like Ian Heinisch or something like that.
Yeah, this is a guy who – he headlined a Bellator card, so it's he's got main event experience in fairly big shows. So, yeah, I don't think they really have to sit on – him, they can push him fairly quickly or more quickly.
He won 50k too.
Yeah, yes, he won the other bonus 50k. So that's all the bonuses. Fight of the night was Zarosa Peterson. Performances Rachmanov and Chidi and Chikwani. All the final last names won. All right, so that can we have? No, it wasn't four straight. We had three straight Canadians to fight, and then a fourth one fought opened the card. I hit this one. Dan missed another big swing and a miss. Julia Stolarenko is still. Has yet to have her hand raised in the UFC. Alexis Davis grappled herself into a win, 29-27, 29-27, 30-27. Two straight wins for Alligator, -225. You have anything to say about this one?
So that's not two straight wins.
The other person I'm firing. Yeah, it
so
is.
No, she lost to Peony Kamzad last.
Okay, sorry.
So she's two out of her last three, but Stolarenko, yeah, I'm fine with you firing her. I will say this, though, you know, as somebody, again, I took a bunch of underdogs on this one. You were a little bit more chalky. I had her at, what, plus 185. Those arm bars in that first round had me screaming TV, dude. Like, she had her so tight on a couple of those and just didn't finish them. So, I don't hate that I liked that underdog play. I think it was a viable one. But, yeah, ultimately, she definitely lost that decision.
Yeah. Lucky the card started earlier. You didn't wake up your kids with your screaming at your TV.
Yeah, it was a 4 p.m. start should happen all the time.
Yes, it was. Exactly. I'm cool with that. I am cool with that. All right. So the Canadians, that's one of the Canadians that screwed down, which is good to see. Okay. The rest of these fights were not on TV up here in Canada. They just started with Gelton Almeida having his hand raised. So I didn't get to see the whole fight. I just got to see the finish. So I'm going to let Dan give more. We don't really need in-depth stuff on the first three fights of the night, but we both hit Gelton Almeida -400. How did he look, Dan?
Well, first of all, he was also part of my recommended plays, which I feel like I mentioned.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it. Relax, man.
Parlay with him and Brendan Allen hit. He looked amazing. Not only did he beat Danilo Marquez, but he dragged Danilo Marquez into his own world. Marquez loves to grapple. Gelton Almeida was like, cool, let's do it. And just made him look like he was on his first day of BJJ. Just absolutely beat the hell out of him. And I will also tell you once again that if you go ahead and listen to me at the end of every pick episode, I usually give you a good prop or two. Gelton Almeida by TKO, which was my prop that I said you should look into, plus 330, cashes with some ground and pound here. Because, again, he wasn't able to get the sub on Marquez because Marquez is actually pretty damn good at jiu-jitsu, but just not good enough to get out from underneath Almeida, who, man, dude, this guy is ready for whatever light heavyweight has got for him.
There you go. Good to hear. We both hit that. I hit the next one. Ha, ha, ha. Philip Rowe, minus 150, TKO'd Jason Witt in the second round, 215. First round went the way you predicted, right? From what I hear, then
exactly. not pieced him up in the second. He pieced him up for 5 whole seconds of this fight. It was Jason Witt wrestling for 7 minutes, and Phil Rowe landing 5 seconds worth of punches, and Phil Rowe won. I thought he had a better chin. Like, people were knocking on about Jason Witt's chin and how his chin was crap because he got knocked out by Matthew Samelisberger in like 4 seconds or whatever. And then, but I thought he took enough punches from Brian Barberena to, like, dispel that myth. Like, oh, no, he's clearly got a decent chin. He took Bam Bam's punches for 15 whole minutes and won that fight. So I was like, he could probably take a few from Rowe, and he couldn't. He took, like, two punches from Rowe. Like, Rowe, I think, landed two strikes, and they ended the fight, and it was over. So, yeah, I think we both probably, as far as the analysis went right on this, we said Jason Witt would wrestle and do a pretty good job, and you said that you thought Philip Rowe would touch him, and he touched him.
Wasn't he the guy? He was the 10 inches of reach guy, wasn't he, over
yeah.
Witt? So.
Yeah, he's one of your,
yes,
your reach
guys. There you go. Reach wins. my reach stat came through there. Okay, tell me what happened in the opener. Canadian Malcolm Gordon screwed us both by breaking Dennis Bonner's arm. Dan for sure loved what Bonner's arm looked like.
It was gruesome. I don't think he broke Dennis Bonner's arm. I know that's the narrative that they went with. He was in an armbar, and then his elbow came clean out later on in the fight. And they were like, oh, that was definitely due to what Malcolm Gordon did before. And Malcolm Gordon, in his post-fight interview, said it's because of what I did before. But I'm not sure there's a correlation between the two. Like, he went to post on his elbow and it came out. Could there have been some, like, microfractures that built up? For sure, you'd probably have to ask an actual doctor. But I think, like, automatically attributing that to Malcolm Gordon and what Malcolm Gordon also said, like, I thought I broke it earlier, so when we were in this scramble position, I put a little bit more weight on his arm to see if it would break. And it's like, no, you didn't. Like, no person has ever said to themselves, I bet you I put some micro fractures in somebody's elbow, and during this scramble, I'll put more weight there in hopes that those micro fractures turn into a big compound. But, like, nobody has ever said that. So, like, I'm fine if a doctor comes to me and is like, yes, the armbar probably did the damage the first time. And if you are one of those people listening to this, hit me up on Twitter and tell me I'm wrong. But in the meantime, like, just watching that as a layman and being like, oh, it's definitely because of what Malcolm Gordon did before and not just, like, one of the freak injuries we see in the octagon, I don't buy that for a second. I think it was a freak injury. I think Dennis Bondar put his arm down the wrong way, and it clearly dislocated in a very disgusting and entertaining way. And it's just too bad. It's too bad because, like, this is a guy who tried to, like, was booked for his UFC debut three different times and had to pull out with injuries all those times. And now we get to see him in the UFC, and he's good and was doing fairly well. Like, his wrestling looked good, and he was chaining things together. And, yeah, he got kind of caught in that arm bar, but he got out of it. And then we see another freak injury. So that's just disappointing to me because, you know, that injury, who knows what he did to ligament damage. We probably won't see him for a long time again. So I don't think it does much for Gordon's stock, and it's disappointing to see Bondar go away for that long.
Yes, indeed. But you were getting you were really toeing the line there of giving out medical advice, Dan. And I said, we're not doctors on this podcast.
We don't do that.
So.
We don't do that.
We don't do that here. All right. So I went 11-2 last night. I need to be giving some props for that. Up $520 on the night. Pretty good, right, Dan?
That's decent. Yeah. That's ahead of what that's more than what we promise.
Exactly. Dan went 7-6, which is what we promise. Down $185. So for the year, I am hitting 65%, but I'm only up $48. Because betting on every fight, like I said, I joke that that's a new strategy, but it's really not. Dan, even though the betting slips people send us, it looks like people are betting on every fight. But anyhow, Dan is at 53%, which is right around his mediocre level he's always at. And he's down $600 almost. Good job, Dan. Good job. Recommended plays, which Dan has been banging on about. We both went 2-1. Dan had Enchikwani to win outright, $40 at minus 105. He had Alan Almeida prop minus 175. He had $50 on that. Then he lost $10 on Peterson. So he ended up winning 56-67. I was 2-1. I had $40 on Allen winning outright at minus 400. $30 on Battle winning at plus 128. And then I lost 30 on Miles Johns. So I was up 1840. So for the year recommended plays, I'm hitting 63%, up about $50, 18% return on investment. Dan, 67%, $88, up 29% return on investment. So not too shabby.
So if you listen to our recommended plays, despite the fact that we seemingly lose money on the full card breakdowns, we actually know what we're doing.
That's, you're not going to get that return on investment anywhere else, right, Dan? You can't invest. You can get 18% or 29%. That's for damn sure.
Mine's 29%. Is that what you said?
Yes, 29%.
That's phenomenal. Like a 30% return on investment. Yeah,
it is.
I'm gonna try to keep that going.
I wonder if you can keep it up.
Last night was 56% return on investment, which is that's a good night.
Yes, it is a good night. All right. So we'll put that to bed. Let me tell you about the last couple of sponsors, then we will get ready to put this thing to bed. Better Fantasy, the fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download the free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player props, pools, and score big when you win. And we love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. It's totally free-to-play. You earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. And speaking about SGPN, the mighty, mighty SGPN app is available in the App Store and Google Play. It gives you easy access to all our picks, all our podcasts. If you can toss an app review, download the app today. It would be appreciated. All right, so can Dan keep it going? Moving forward, next week we got, or depending on when you listen to this, this week, Saturday, UFC 271, Adesanya versus Whitaker 2 from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas, which is becoming one of their homes away from homes. So we got that main event. We got Derek Lewis versus Tai Tuivasa in the co-main event, which is a fun one. We don't really want to see the other guy lose that, though, do we, Dan? Aren't we fans of both?
I am fans of both. And it's weird, too, because usually I'm like, I just, when I'm fans of both guys, I just root for the guy who hasn't had his shots at the title, which I kind of feel like I'm doing now. Like, I kind of hope Tai Tuivasa wins. But Derek Lewis feels like a different Derek Lewis now than the one who's lost twice for the title. But like, man, do you really want to see a guy go 0-3 in title shots? I don't know that I do, but he's seemingly knocking on that door. But that fight has title shot implications built into it. And I know it's crazy in 2022 to be talking about Tai Tuivasa title shots. But, man, if he went out there and did something to Derek Lewis, like, you'd have to put him in a short conversation for the interim title that is inevitably coming sometime this summer.
it's a muddied, muddied, to say the least, title picture in heavyweight. Because we've got Ngannou, the current champ, could be on the shelf forever. John Jones, who knows if he's going to fight. Stipe Miocic, it's kind of MIA. Who knows when he's going to fight. Cyril Gane, just one interim title fight and then lost the real fight. So you think maybe he has to take a step back. So, yeah, it's really – I'd say it's wide open, plus it's also muddied up. It's kind of both, both ends. It could be wide open. It also could be restrictive. So who knows? We'll have to just see how it plays out. So – we could have a number one contender fight there. We have a title fight at the top. The next fight could be a number one contender fight. Also, we got middleweights, Jerry Cannonier versus Derek Brunson. You think the winner of this goes after the champ?
As long as they look better than Sean Strickland.
Yep.
I would say this too. Like, for me, that's a number one contender's fight as long as Robert Whittaker does not upset Israel Adesanya in the main event. If that upset happens, the trilogy happens. I think the winner of Cannonier Brunson, because Brunson is a guy who it would be a rematch with Adesanya, which sucks, right? Like, we don't love rematches or anything like that. But, you know, Cannonier is one of the few guys in the middleweight division who's a fresh name for Adesanya. So, like, that makes sense. I just think whoever wins has to look good. And then, yes, you're right. That's what it would do.
Yep. And we got Kyler Phillips versus Marcelo Rojo, Bobby Green versus Nasrat Haqparast. That rounds out the main card. Andrei Arlovski versus Jurek Vandera would be the headline of the prelims. Roxanne Modafferi in her farewell fight against King Casey O'Neill. Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell. William Knight versus Maxim Grishin. So very, very good fight card. And then we got, one, two, three. We got six currently early prelims too. So pretty good fight card, I would say.
Yeah, it's a deep one. It's like a fun mix, too, of, like, young prospecty type names that will be like fun to watch, and you know, like brand new guys to the UFC, and then also like Roxanne Modafari's retirement fight is very legit, and then dudes who are at the top of their division, like Alex Perez, Matt Schnell, is like a flyweight fight where both guys could be like a couple fights away from being in the title picture. I mean, Alex Perez fought for it recently.
Yep.
So like, you know, there's all kinds of different stuff on this card, and it's huge. There's so many fights. Cause like you said, six early yes. prelims, four on the other prelim card. So it's a 15 fight card.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. Yep. They are covering their butts in case things fall apart, as they tend to do in this sport, especially in times we are still living in. Only other really thing of note is the announced Ultimate Fighter is starting up in it's May, correct?
I think so they're, I believe if I'm not mistaken, they are recording as we speak. They had tryouts, and pretty much like the minute after they had tryouts, they just like shoved the 16 people into the house.
Get in that house.
Because the report I said was, I saw it said recording in February. I believe the finale will be, I think you're right. I think it takes them, what, 13 weeks to record, so they probably start airing the minute they're out of the house, which will be sometime in May.
Wouldn't they just save time, just invite you to watch it, and then they don't have to worry about airing it? Because who else is going to watch it, right?
I mean, I'd go into the house and see what's up. I'd want to leave at some point, because
it doesn't
seem like that much fun 24/7.
And, you know, it's Dr. Amanda Nunes, the new champ, who has she has lots of...
You mean Dr. Juliana Pena?
Oh, excuse me. Dr. Juliana Pena,
you're
yes.
disparaging the wrong fighter. Who?
I am. Versus...
to figure out her age.
Exactly. Versus Amanda Nunes. They are the coaches, and they will be having the rematch after this season. Just quickly, it's heavyweight, and what's the women's? I forgot the women. Is it...
Flyweight. 125. Yep.
All right. Anyone jump off the page? Any of the participants, you're like, oh, I can't wait to see that guy or gal fight.
There's a couple of like interesting heavyweight ones, but most of them are kind of like slow strikers and big heavy wrestlers, which is interesting. The only one who I'm really intrigued with as far as like his boxing abilities is Mitchell Stipe, or Sipe, I believe you say his name is. He's like a 25-year-old dude who's like kind of fast and comes out and throws bombs. So it'd be interesting to see if he can like handle all of the like JUCO wrestlers and shit that are on. I think actually one was an All-American. Chandler Cole, I think, was an All-American. So there's like a whole bunch of like good wrestler types for heavyweight, which tend to be what does well in the Ultimate Fighter house anyway. So that'll be interesting. There is one light heavyweight who snuck in there, who I'm really high on as a prospect, but I think being a light heavyweight with like a bunch of legit heavyweights kind of sucks for him. That's Zach Pauga. So like there's a bunch of kind of interesting heavyweights who I think could progress and be better. The flyweight division is really, really green, for the women. There's a lot of very, I don't want to say they're underwhelming. They're just like new-ish. You know, like if you've got five fights, you're in the minority in the women's flyweight division. Like there's more women who are brand new and like 2-1 than not. So that's going to be really interesting. I will say the Invicta card we broke down recently with Helen Peralta on it. We talked about Helen Peralta being a big heavy puncher. She apparently her big heavy punched her way into the Ultimate Fighter house with that win. I'm also really interested in the only other name I'll throw out there is Brogan Walker. She sometimes goes as Brogan Walker Sanchez too. I've seen her fight a ton. She's an Invicta fighter. She beat Miranda Maverick. She beat Miranda Maverick by decision a few years
ago. Yeah, so, I know the name.
Yeah, so like if you beat Miranda Maverick, it's interesting. And then she fought Pearl Gonzalez and Erin Blanchfield. She didn't beat either of those two. But like she's got way more experience than everybody in the house put together. So she's kind of who I got my eye on for the women.
Is there anyone like that on the men's side equivalent? Anyone who's fought in any big promotions at all?
I mean, like, Kamaru...
Any Bellator cast offs or anything?
Kamaru Usman's brother, Mohamed, PFL. Yeah. So, like, he's a name you've heard before. There's some, like, Cage Warrior guys. If I'm not mistaken, is it Jordan Hinderman who I saw fight on Cage Warriors? No, it was Eduardo Perez. Not, I can't remember. I've definitely seen one of them fight on Cage Warriors, and I remember looking back to see in the record. Also, you've seen you know one of these fighters. Did you know that? You've seen one of these fighters fight?
Did I? Ultimate Fight? I mean, Dana White's Contender Series?
Nope. No? Although the aforementioned Mitchell Sipe did fight on Contender Series against Dante Mays and lost. Do you know the name Bobby Maximus?
Yes, I do actually remember that name.
So
Why do I remember it though?
He actually did not go by Bobby Maximus when you. I was hoping you would say I don't know Bobby Maximus because.
I recognize the name, but.
So Bobby Maximus was not the name he went by. He previously went by a different name. How many seasons of The Ultimate Fighter did you ever watch?
Oh, no idea. No idea.
Did you watch the early? Did you watch the early ones?
Probably, yes. I remember, but yes, I think so.
So there was a Canadian in season two named Rob McDonald.
That's who Maximus is?
That's his – yeah, he's now changed his name. He fought three times in the UFC. He lost to Jason Lambert at UFC 58. He beat Christian Rothermail at UFC Fight Night 5. And then he lost to Eric Red Schaefer at UFC 62. And then he fought three times outside of the UFC, and the last time he fought was 2009. So he's a tough two cast-off who hasn't fought in 13 years and is 43 years old. He's now like a fitness model and is returned to fighting to get a spot on Tough 30.
Oh, my God. Does the UFC realize this?
I think they do, and I think they're going to run with that storyline. But he is so interesting because, like, he hasn't fought in 13 years. How do you game plan for a guy who's had 13 years off?
No kidding, eh? Wow. Well, that is interesting then. I probably still won't watch it, but it's
he's
interesting.
He's Canadian, though. He's Canadian.
I know. That's true. So his parents didn't name him Maximus? That's not his given last name?
No, it's Rob McDonald.
McDonough, yep. Well, I hear dogs crying, Dan. I think they finally want me to take them for a walk, so maybe we should put this one to bed and stop talking about people with their pseudonames and whatnot.
You're the one who brought up The Ultimate Fighter.
That's true. Once he started, he won't stop The Ultimate Fighter talk. All right, we'll be back on – how about we come back Wednesday? How about we break down the fight card we just told you about, UFC 271. In the meantime, Twitter, Jeff Fox, writer, thank you for getting me over 1,000 people. I finally made it over 1,000, but hopefully no one drops off, or I'll be heartbroken to see me dip back under. He is Gumby Vreeland. He's cruising into 3,000 range, I think, Dan. Impressive. A lot of people have a lot of spare time on their hands, apparently. Reader stuff, MMA. What's the name of our website? SportsGamblingPodcast.com. That's the name of our website. Listen to the rest of the podcast on the network. Give us a review, if you could, on Apple. It would help us win bragging rights amongst the rest of the SGPN pools. Pods, actually. See, here's the end of the podcast where Jeff stops saying words properly. So Dan's going to take us home. Go ahead.
I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Pooh Bear Jeff Fox. We will catch you on Wednesday.